Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Second half of Grant and Danny getting started on The Fan. Thanks for making this show part of your day. We always kick off the 12 o'clock hour with the Beltway Blitz on three teams in town you care the most about, so we will do that in a moment. At 12:18, it's too late now to penalize Astros players, but what do we think will be the fallout this season of their cheating scandal and the saga that ensued all offseason? How is this going to go over with opposing teams, and just how big a villain is this club going to become as the season begins in the next week? We'll get to all that coming up this hour on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's kick off our blitz on the diamond. Before we get to the Nats, who had just a handful of reporters at their spring training facility today because everyone else was talking with the Astros, we bring on Sam Forte of the Washington Post. Sam, I know you were in the Astros clubhouse today. You were at their press conference. Your big takeaways, your thoughts on how much contrition they showed for what they did.
My big takeaway is that they apologized for the sign stealing scandal. They apologized several times to the city of Houston and baseball at large, but they did not apologize to other players. They did not apologize to other teams. They were very specific in the fact that this apology was to their city and I guess the game at large. But it was confusing, if not, you know, it just didn't make sense. And when pressed, you know, what would you say to – I pressed Lance McCullers, the Astros starting pitcher. What would you say to other players? And he just moved on to the next question. It was sort of a confusing day because they were very apologetic. They said, I'm sorry, but it was unclear to whom they were apologizing.
This is tinfoil hat theory, but you know, one of the things that's come out is that by way of either third parties or other reports, a lot of the Astros have alleged supposedly that these issues are rampant around baseball. Now, I don't think a lot of teams are doing things to the extent they are, but the idea is that other teams are stealing signs, that other teams are cheating as well. Do you feel like that might be part of this, that they feel like they got caught, but they're not going to apologize to other teams or players because everyone's doing something illegal like this?
There was that undertone here of, okay, you know, we were the ones that got busted. We're being made an example of. But, you know, maybe that was the undertone, but no one said it overtly. It seems as though they were coached pretty well. You say you're sorry to baseball. You say you're sorry to the city, but you don't engage beyond that. That is sort of the vibe that we got here. And I think that was personified by Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, the two kind of figureheads that the Astros brought out at the beginning of their press conference. And those are the two parties that they apologized to and left it.
Sam, the refrain that I saw from Jim Crane and among others contradicts what the commissioner's report said. Maybe I misread it. Maybe I don't understand something, but help me out on this. This was player-driven. I thought that was one of the themes there, and he was basically talking like these were angelic, cherubic children that were just sort of misled by some bad influences and deserve a second chance and our sympathy, and these guys were almost victims. Is that the sense that you had, and what am I missing here?
If you're trying to understand the logic of this, I think you're going to be in a pretzel because he did say that. I mean, he said, you know, we dismissed leadership that led these guys astray, essentially. Yes, he did say that the scheme was player-driven. And it's sort of unclear the resolution on that because new GM James Click was asked in a Wall Street Journal story recently. It named two executives still with the team. Hey, you know, it named those guys as kind of core collaborators on this plot. And we asked James Click today, what is the status of those two members of your organization? And he said they are still employed by the team, but he would not tell us if they were in Florida. He wouldn't tell us a timeline. He wouldn't say there's a policy in place to review their status and get rid of them if what we find is true. He just said they are still with the organization. So it's really mind-bending to try to figure out what the logical through line is on what the Astros are saying today.
Sam, the Nats also reported to camp today. Quickly on them, I mean, obviously you weren't over there, but your thoughts on just them being an afterthought at their own facility, first day showing up after winning the World Series.
One of the players walked in today, and he said, "Oh, it's kind of light." And he, you know, he shrugged his shoulders and joked a little bit. And I asked him about, you know, what he thought of the Astros and all the spectacle that's been going on. And he rolled his eyes. But I think it is funny that you win the World Series, you spend so much time trying to get to this pinnacle, and then someone else it takes away, I guess, from the attention of that. I don't think they mind. It felt sort of like the first day of high school, and everyone's rolling in, you know, kind of tired. But I think it did feel different, I guess, being on that side of the clubhouse earlier today.
Sam, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Great work down there, man.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Let's talk some Redskins, please, Tommy. What about Kareem Copeland from the Washington Post covers those Redskins, so it's a good thing he's on to talk about the Redskins. Kareem, a couple of disgruntled Redskins need some resolutions. Quentin Dunbar walking back his statements. It sounds like he demanded a trade, saw the backlash, and then said, no, that totally wasn't me, Shaggy style. Give me the latest on Quentin Dunbar.
I'm not so sure about completely walking it back. From my perspective, it almost seems like sometimes you let your representatives be the bad guy, because I know that request was made. So sometimes you just got to let your representatives be the bad guy and go in there and take the brunt of things. And you can say, hey, listen, I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, that's why you have representation. So it kind of seems like that way for me. But, I mean, the bottom line issue is the fact that, hey, he's going into a contract year with zero guaranteed money, and they're worried about getting banged up. They're worried about his security long term. And it's got to get solved one way or another. I haven't talked to Dunny directly, so I can't say, you know, I can't report on exactly what he said to someone else. But at the same time, I would say, hey, this is what you have agents for. Let them be the bad guy and take the hard stance.
Which I think is fair, but my frustration with this is, in a span of 48 hours, you shouldn't be telling one person you want to be traded, putting your name on it, and then telling another person you don't want to be traded and putting your name on it. It doesn't look good for you, and it seems like you don't know what you're talking about or doing, right? I mean, where am I wrong about that?
The public back and forth isn't a good look, but I think that doesn't necessarily change what the bottom line foundation of this is and what the issues that need to be worked out. Sure, it doesn't look great from the outside, but the bottom line issues stay the same, and that's got to get worked out one way or another.
Kareem, Trent Williams and Ron Rivera, the reaching out, they want him in the fold. Is this something where Ron Rivera really wants to win now to make a good impression, or do you think he's going to have the big picture in mind, which may be trading Trent Williams for some future assets here as they climb out of this cesspool that was the previous ownership group, not ownership group, the front office, and this Alex Smith cap issue? Is that something you think how is that going to get resolved ultimately for you?
Well, I think ultimately he wants the best player, the most talented player on this roster back in the building, and you can figure out the rest from there. You have options if you get him back here and you get him back in the fold of, hey, let's see what our steps are from here on out. But, you know, when you're just button heads and they weren't talking to each other and the two sides were at odds, and, you know, nothing happens at that point. We saw what happened for the last, you know, 12 plus months in that situation. So if you can at least get everybody back, you know, kumbaya, and everybody, you know, on the same page and have like frank discussions friendly discussions, quite
yes,
frankly, because I don't think that was happening before. That wasn't happening with Bruce. You know, those guys were at odds, and that wasn't happening. But, you know, Trent said the entire time that we knew who his beef was with, and everybody he had beef with is gone now. So now you can kind of work towards repairing those and figuring out where to go from here. But you got to start that conversation. You got to get him in the building. You got to look him in the eye. And Ron's known for being a player's guy and working really well with people. So I think that that helps the cause. But ultimately, we'll see. But if I'm Ron, I just want that guy back in the building and back in the fold. And then we'll go from there.
Excellent with us, Kareem. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Read Kareem Copeland in the Washington Post. Let's talk hockey. Steve Wino, Associated Press, Capitals lost two games at home, giving up 12 goals in their last two. They're on the road starting tonight for a three-game trip in Colorado to begin things this evening against old friend Andrei Burakovsky. Swino, why don't we just start with the scuffles on defense for this team? What has gone wrong for the Capitals?
The shorter list is what's gone right at this point lately for the Capitals. It's been a defensive mess. I mean, and this is something that they've had issues throughout the season where there's been a lack of structure, defending off the rush, defending in their own zone. But we finally start to see kind of a dam break a little bit where teams that finally were capitalizing on opportunities, goalies weren't able to make the spectacular save that was saving the Capitals before. It clearly wasn't just a Nick Jensen problem because he came out of the lineup and then the Flyers hung seven on this team. It clearly wasn't just a Martin Ferravari problem or any one defenseman. I think there's kind of a team lack of commitment defensively right now that happens in the doldrums of the season, especially for a talented team that knows it can come back, but certainly a problem that needs to be fixed sooner rather than later.
Swano, this may be tinfoil hattish. This may be a conspiracy theorist, but bear with me. I think this Ovechkin 700 thing can't come quickly enough, obviously because it'd be good and it's cool and good for him and he's a Hall of Famer and we can't wait for him to move up. But I think that's kind of become the focus. I think they're just hunting Ovechkin goals as opposed to playing good hockey and letting goals come. I think this is kind of taken over this team, watching them not play defense, turn the puck over, and not do the defensive things and accountability things that got them to the best record in the sport.
Yeah, and I certainly think that was a problem against Philadelphia, maybe less so against the Islanders. You could tell early in that Flyers game, the teammates really wanted to send Alex Ovechkin up for a goal, for a second goal, to just get him the puck. And it was a forced effort. I think against the Islanders, there's a little bit more balance there. They realized they need to win games and pick up points. And you started to see, after they fell behind 5-1 in that game, kind of a different mentality all over the ice. After Evgeny Kuznetsov was hurt, Lars Eller played more. Lars Eller was probably the best player on the ice on Monday night as well. But, yeah, I agree with you that this is getting to 700, getting it over with. It's a distraction at the very least right now for the Capitals.
Yeah, looking forward for two more goals for Ovechkin. Maybe they come tonight and history's made mile high. So you mentioned Kuznetsov really quickly. What's the latest?
Day-to-day still. Didn't practice the past couple of days. Did go on the trip to Denver with the Capitals. Todd Rundgren's hoping that he gets in the lineup either Saturday at Arizona or Monday afternoon at Vegas. It sure looked bad when it happened. It looked like his left shoulder crunched into the boards on that hit from Leo Komarov. But if getting his nuts off is able to skate a little bit on the road and play, that's good news for the Capitals.
Swino, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
That is your Beltway Blitz. Three teams jammed into one segment. The Astros today sent Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve to the podium to apologize. Dusty Baker, their new manager, and their owner Jim Crane spoke. You'll hear some of that audio in our reactions. What is this year going to be like for the Astros? Presumably it's too late to do anything about the players. I'm guessing that we've gone too far. The season is officially now underway with spring training beginning. But is there any way that that could change and that players could actually serve some type of a suspension? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. This morning, the Astros broke their silence. It was the first time the media has been at their spring training facility. Owner Jim Crane, after getting the team together yesterday to talk about how they were going to handle speaking about stealing signs and cheating their way to the 2017 World Series, presumably to the 2018 League Championship Series and the 2019 World Series, although they're saying, yeah, we just kind of stopped cheating at some point during 2018. We don't really remember when, but even though we were winning and we hadn't been caught, we just stopped doing it because we felt bad. I don't know why they stopped doing it. If you buy that, cool. What's the old saying that old people used to say? I got a bridge to sell you. What's that one?
Is it a bridge to nowhere? I got some
oceanfront property in Arizona.
That's
a good one. There's also someone used to do like it's like selling ketchup at a white glove convention or something, you know, that kind of bit.
You're right. Doing the Tommy Boy, he could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves.
That's not bad.
I could get a good look at a T-bone bite. We could do that one.
Yeah, that's a Tommy Boy one.
That's a Tommy Boy.
But in fairness, not Tommy Boy, but his dad, mm-hmm. Tom Callahan,
yeah,
could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. He was a great salesman. Tommy just sold $500,000 brake pads.
Bah!
I need to watch that again.
And wants to run on first down. Nope, different Callahan.
The opening scene of that movie, not Bill Callahan, but Tom Boy Callahan, is chasing after that bus, and his lunch and his chips fall on the street. He's a fat little kid. Oh, I feel so bad for him. He's just trying to catch the bus. He's always running late. He doesn't know that Herbie Hancock is not John Hancock. Poor guy.
Herbie Hancock.
Herbie Hancock.
Dude, that movie's great.
I miss Chris Farley so much.
He was 33.
That's it?
That's it.
He's 2 years older than I am now when he died.
Uh-huh.
Damn, he did a lot before 33.
I know, dude.
What would he be doing now? I wonder, though, you know, some of these comedic actors, they go on these cold spells where for several years they're not as revered or they don't do as much. Like Jim Carrey as an example. Jim Carrey, right after Ace Ventura and Liar Liar and all those movies, was on this ascent, this trajectory where he was going to be the thing. And he kind of got a little bit weirder and a little bit crazier and a little bit more Scientology-like. And now he picks his spots and does some kind of odd projects. But
I just
would
say to do Andy Kaufman style things all the time.
His approval rating is like lower than it was then.
I know. And he had an unbelievable run in the 90s. From In Living Color to the Ace Ventura stuff to Liar Liar, as you touched on. What happens sometimes, I think, is the pressure keeps rising to be funny every time you do something new.
You can't just ever do something that isn't funnier than the last thing.
Yeah, and then if you make a movie that's not as good or whatever, right? I mean, think of Eddie Murphy as a great example. Like, remember the run that he went on? For goodness, he's releasing Raw, he's releasing Delirious, then he's doing Beverly Hills Cop, then he's doing, The Golden Child, which is hilarious, 48 Hours, where he's unbelievable. And he does, like, Vampire in Brooklyn that doesn't hit. He swung and missed. Next thing you know, he's out. And now he's like a punchline.
I don't
think
of him in the same way because he's got a little bit more range. He's not Paige Stojakovic, but he's Hito Turkoglu.
Oh, he's a great actor.
To use my Sacramento Kings of yesteryear. But guys like Will Ferrell, who I like, Vince Vaughn, who I like, they are a character. They're that guy.
Yeah. You know what Will Ferrell's going to do when you see it?
100% of the time. He could do a little bit of a different role like he did in the movie where he was like an author. He was like... there was an author writing a book about his life. What was that movie?
I don't remember.
I'll think of it.
But he's trying to do an adult comedy coming out with Julie Louis-Dreyfus. With like the
which I think he'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
But my point is, generally, Will Ferrell, funny Will Ferrell, is the same guy. And I think at some point, it just gets old. Like, we get tired of seeing that or Adam Sandler as Adam Sandler. So maybe that would have happened to Chris Farley. I don't know. But that guy was
just
on
so
his
funny.
Way.
He was so funny.
I loved every movie he was in, and I knew each time I watched that David Spade would annoy me, and I would still love it.
He had his little cameos, too, before he became a megastar. He was in Dirty Work, which is an unbelievably forgettable Norm MacDonald vehicle that nobody saw. But he's in a bar for, like, 7 seconds, and he steals the movie. It's the only thing people remember from it is when he's yelling because Norm MacDonald is like, at least your nose didn't get bit off there by a Saigon whore, and because he knows Chris Farley's right there, and that's exactly what happened to him.
It's not a bad Norm MacDonald.
I just threw it together. Thank you very much. And Farley loves it. I'm just kidding. I know you were there. And it's perfect.
Talking about Chris Farley makes me happy. We could keep doing that. Let's talk about something that makes me angry and sad, and that is the Houston Astros. Thank God the Nationals won.
Thank goodness.
Because if today happened, that press conference where I had to watch the owner of this team, Jim Crane, say we won the World Series, we'll leave it at that. After they beat the Nationals, because that was the quote he had about 2017 when they were cheating, I would be irate. And what would be happening is the Astros would be claiming they weren't cheating during the 2019 World Series. You know, the series that they played against the Nats after the Nationals had to prepare for a week to change up all of their cadences on a whim, like their NFL quarterbacks shouting numbers at wide receivers who have to look down at cards they've got in their pocket and in their hats so that they can figure out what pitches to throw.
Yeah, let's say they bring in Garrett Cole and the Astros win.
Right.
2-1.
Or they just, how about they don't bring anyone in? They just allow Zach Greinke to keep carving the Nationals' bats into sawdust, not getting any offense or any hits, and they win game 7. And we're sitting here today, and someone says, Jim, we know you cheated all your way to the 2017 World Series, and because you are hilariously uninformed and or completely out of your depth in this press conference, you just said that you don't actually think cheating in the 2017 World Series impacted the games. He actually said that today, by the way. I can't believe that. But the follow-up I've got to that is, you just beat the Nationals in the 2019 World Series. Were you cheating then? And then he would say no, and we just have to accept that the Nats lost in Houston in Game 7 with that monitor next to the dugout and trash cans and all the other things that are still there, and we got to just assume that he's not lying to us?
Oh, we believe you, sir.
Would that be the most painful thing ever? But luckily, good conquered evil, and good beat bad, and Juan Soto's too much of a man-child, and Max Scherzer's too dominant, and Stras is too nasty, and you have to sit there and own the fact that while cheating, you weren't good enough to beat the Washington Nationals.
And now think about this. The Red Sox out-cheated them, according to, you know, just going up some of the rumors of what we figured out, in 2018. So think about that. Think about if they'd won that year, too. Or, and it makes what the Nationals did even more profound, right? The only team to beat them without cheating is the Washington Nationals, as far as we know. That's pretty damn delightful. That makes this a whole lot more fun. I'm with you. I cannot imagine what I'd be doing when this first, starting from when this first broke to right now and beyond, if the Astros had held on to win that game, which, by the way, was very much in their control to do so.
So there's a few angles we haven't gotten to yet on today at West Palm Beaches. Ballpark of the Palm Beaches, which is a terrible name. And they should probably rechange it, for the record. That's really what they call that, remember?
Yeah.
The ballpark of the Palm Beaches. West Palm Beaches. Palm Beach Ballpark of the Palm Beaches at the Palm Beach Ballpark.
Fit team ballpark at the Palm Beaches of West Palm.
What are we doing here? But anyway, at whatever that facility is called and should be called, with hundreds of media members showing up today, I got a few thoughts we haven't gotten to on the Astros. What comes next? How teams are going to handle this? If you're a pitcher facing these guys, will there be retribution? There was a caller who called in and speculated retaliation and hit by pitches throughout the season. Will we actually see some of that? I'd love to get into that. But I just want to get back into what were your biggest takeaways from this morning? Because I jotted down a handful here. You had Dusty Baker speaking, even though he wasn't there last year, pleading with people to forgive the players that he met yesterday, saying, these are really good guys. They're really remorseful. Trust me. No. I'm not doing that yet. Please have a seat. I'd like to hear from the players again. You had Jim Crane saying that he shouldn't be held accountable, even though he's the manager. How are you not supposed to be held accountable when you're the manager, the owner of the
this
team?
This was failed leadership, and I'm the leader of all these guys, but, you know, what?
You manage the whole organization.
I shouldn't have been held accountable?
And saying, we won the World Series, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, you won the World Series in a year where we know you cheated throughout the entire postseason. That was the most frustrating and smug comment of this entire smuggy thing. Him saying, we won the World Series, leave it at that. The whole reason we're here is because you won the World Series, stupid. That's why we're asking you about this. Of course we know you won the World Series, because you cheated. Maybe you would have won if you didn't cheat. We'll never know, will we? In the meantime, we get to wonder, did you win because of that? And he had the audacity to say, yeah, but we're not sure that it actually affected the game.
Then say that he never said that and then say it again later. Keep that in mind.
What did you think of Crane, the owner, Baker, the manager, Altuve and Bregman, the players, in their press conferences / apologies today? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game.
All right, Danny, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to have a follow-up question after.
Okay, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Keep track.
I'm overweight, and I care too much about how well-manicured my beard is.
Grant, just following up here, did you say that you were overweight and you don't care how well-manicured your beard is?
No, I didn't. I said I'm overweight, and I care too much about how manicured my beard is. This whole process today.
What the hell?
They had months to prepare for. I want people to remember that about Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros. Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve. I don't know how they chose which two players would go up there. I'm assuming they chose those two because they're the highest profile players who won the MVP awards in the last 3 years for that team. But you think about the fact, not just weeks, they've had legitimately now months to figure out how they were going to do this. And the best they came up with was the owner saying that the players were victims, that they were misled by their leaders, like they were seven-year-old little leaguers and Boy Scouts showing up at the field and some coach told them to do something that they shouldn't be doing, number one. Number two, the owner saying, I shouldn't be held accountable. That was a direct quote from the owner of a baseball team. How about him saying, I didn't do the investigation, and about 50 times saying, I'm not clear on all the details. Get clear, Jim Crane.
Yeah, take a few days at one of your private homes that you have, one of your yachts that you have, I'm sure.
Your team might have a World Series ripped away from them. Your players might be suspended substantially. They weren't, by the way. Your manager had to be fired, and your executive of the year, your president, had to be fired, Jeff Luhnow. All that happened, and you weren't that clear on the details?
You're not familiar with those? Maybe get familiar. Maybe take some time.
The thing that I just can't get past is that he wants me to believe the Astros stopped cheating in early 2018. He doesn't know anything except when they asked when they stopped cheating, and he said, I think it was around early 2018.
So they started in 18 at some point and then just sort of stopped. It tailed
well,
off?
Well, meaning they started in 17 all year long.
No, but I mean, the 18 season starts. They're doing it for some time. It's unclear exactly when or for how long, and then they just sort of stopped at some point in 2018, meaning it did carry over, right? Is that how you take that?
Absolutely, 100%. I just don't think for one second they stopped in 18. I think they were still cheating during the 2019 World Series.
I'm pretty positive of that now.
I think they were cheating when Jose Altuve hit Aroldis Chapman's slider over the fence that prevented a Game 7 against the Yankees. The Yankees should be livid. The Dodgers should be irate. The Nationals should be outraged. Every team should be upset. Now, I think a lot of teams are cheating. I think every team in varying degrees in some way is stealing signs like we've been doing for decades and is cheating and trying to get an edge. I don't know that any team is doing what the Astros are, and I also don't care right now what the other teams are doing. When they win a World Series, when they get caught, when they are the team that we're coming down on, then smash them with the fury of 1,000 fists. But right now, it's the Astros who are in trouble. When you get caught cheating, I don't care if your girlfriend cheated on her husband too. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't care when you get caught cheating on a test that three other people in the class did the exact same thing as you and wrote the answers on your palm. This is about you. You cheated. You won the World Series. You went to two of them. You went to three LCSs. Don't worry about everybody else. That's kind of the way they play this is, well, you know, we're the scapegoats. Cool. I'm scapegoating you all day long then.
Yeah, well, you're first. So wear it.
Are you okay with me changing my mind today?
Of course I am.
I have gone from saying don't revoke their title as World Series champions to doing it. And this has been a slow burn over a couple weeks as I'm getting more and more angry and increasingly mad at what they did. I don't really know why. I can't speak to how or why I'm feeling this way. But now I'm at a point where I want players suspended. I've said that all along. It's too late to do that. It's not going to happen. But in addition to that, I don't want them to be able to have a single banner or pennant or anything in their ballpark or historically anything that says they won that World Series. Because you got players coming out, Danny, saying what we did was terrible in 2017. How do I parse that up with, well, we were also the champions and we'll continue to celebrate that as a sport?
It's hard to reconcile those things. So I don't have a problem with it. That's just, to me, updating your thinking. What I wanted, and I knew I wouldn't get it, by the way, we called this all along. We said, we're not going to get what we want here. And not that I'm any kind of seer. I'm not the summoner, but I happen to see this one coming. Okay, this was pretty clear down the turnpike that they were going to just, you know, thumb their noses at us, which was what Bregman did. When they had their first chance to come clean, they didn't do it. They showed you who they were. Now that some PR lackeys got a hold of them and wrote a statement, Alex Bregman, that's probably even written in there, pause, take a deep breath, then continue with your statement. It was so fake. It was so contrived. It was such nonsense. You're not going to get what you wanted. And what I wanted was, A, all the information. I don't want this investigation and the investigations to stop because there's more that's coming out. You could have owned it at any point. You could have said, we cheated. It got out of control. We knew what we were doing was wrong, but we just couldn't stop. We'll never be able to make it up to any of you. And I think there'd be a lot less fire at the moment than there is right now. But they chose not to do that. They chose to either, you know, in a circular way, pretend to be the victim, try to explain to me that, no, this is all solved. Actually, I didn't really know what was going on, but you fired two people? You didn't know what was going on. You fired people? You basically banned unofficially a couple guys from baseball for life, and you weren't completely familiar with what was happening? How dare you? How dare you forever change A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow's livelihoods if you didn't, quote, know what was going on? You did know. That's the other thing. Stop insulting us. All we want is to not be insulted. When you lie in a bold-faced and provably demonstrably false way to the point that it's so obvious to anybody that's listening, that's insulting our intelligence.
How
don't do
are the
that
players
me.
Not going
to
do any time for this? How is that possible that the players who benefited most from this, they won a championship, they won another pennant, they won playoff money by getting out of the division in the LCS series. They won not just cash, but fanfare and money in free agency, and they became better for it. They won MVP awards. They all benefited immensely from it, and they are getting nothing. Their former manager is out of baseball, may never get another job again, who had a bigger issue with it than anybody because he actually destroyed the monitor a couple times. Jeff Luhnow will never be in baseball again, the executive, and you could tell me that's correct and rightfully so, fine. How do the players get nothing? I just cannot fathom that this season will start. Opening day will be here. The Astros will trot out Springer, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, all those 2017 dudes, Reddick, and they'll just go play a baseball game and maybe win the thing 5-2, and nothing mattered. I don't understand how Rob Manfred, anytime he speaks publicly, will be able to answer to the fact when he said this was a player-driven initiative, that this was a player-driven scam, is okay with that.
Rather, this is from the commissioner's report from Rob Manfred himself. Rather, the 2017 scheme in which players banged on a trash can was, with the exception of Cora, player-driven and player-executed. Player-driven and player-executed. Just one more time for clarity. Player-driven and player-executed. And they're getting nothing.
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 25-second apology today for Altuve. A couple minutes of questions.
You guys okay? Alex, was that tough for you, buddy? You doing all right?
We still don't even know if they use the buzzers. And we'll probably honestly never know. Until there's another whistleblower. You know, someone may feel bad after they go to the Twins or the A's in a few years, and they'll tell us that they were using buzzers.
Verlander, MLB Network, to 3 years from right now, goes, oh, yeah. they were getting buzzed orders.
Scherzer. If you look up way above us, there's a road up there. There's a high, high road.
Yeah.
He's driving on it. Max Scherzer today on the Astros. They crossed a moral line and cheated, but they got to answer for it. It's not really for us to speak on. They need to speak for themselves. They need to talk to the fans of baseball. They need to explain what happened. So he's not going to throw salt at the Astros. We'll take your calls on this next 800-636-1067. And before we pivot and move on, at the top of the hour, here's what I want to get into on this front next, Danny. How will the Astros this year fare? Will they be worse noticeably? Mm. Will they be offensively considerably different? Will they regress in any way? Or are these good enough players that they were great anyway? And all this is a lot of outrage, but it's not going to actually affect the performance. They'll go win 104 games, and they'll be back in the World Series because they're just better than everybody else. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Tweets are coming in hot and heavy today. People are upset, and you should be. We get it. At Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for me.
Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, starting today's media session with his initial statement. Then Dusty Baker spoke and two different players spoke. I want you to hear the statement from Alex Bregman. Bregman, of course, has been an MVP now in the American League. And since 2017, his star has risen to being one of the great sluggers in baseball. He is very comfortable in the heel role. Today, he took on a very different tone than when he carried a bat all the way down to first base and dropped it while staring into the Nats' dugout. This was Bregman talking with the media.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
I bet you are. I bet you're focused on 2020. We're not ready for 2020.
Sorry, that was hard for you, Alex. Take your time, buddy.
Got a few questions I still want to run by you. Let's talk about those buzzers, huh? This was Jose Altuve not long after that. Altuve at the podium. Same deal, about 30 seconds or so, no questions asked of him. Here he was.
I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
You're good enough as a team to compete for a championship.
They've also been very careful to say 2017.
Over and over and over again.
And we know why, but that is smart on their part.
It's because that's all that was proven in the report.
Right.
It's like I guess a little bit of 18, but they didn't win the World Series. You know, they know that that year they won the championship, and that was the year that we knew they cheated.
But it's like, and this is obviously not nowhere near as you know, the gravity of it's nowhere near as close here. But I think often of the like a trial of a serial killer. I remember watching the Ted Bundy documentary on Netflix, and he's only going to trial for one. We got a pretty great idea that these things were happening for a long time, but he's ultimately on trial for, you know, for one thing or maybe two things. Again, not equivalent, but you see where I'm going with this. That we got a pretty good idea. Again, Wall Street Journal report was very clear that an intern knock, knock, knock on Jeff Luhnow's door in 2016. Hey, I figured out a way to break the codes of what signals people are using so we can have this data in real time. Cool. Let's implement it and use it for years. And he's checking on them during games. That's a report in the Wall Street Journal, a publication of note.
And guess what happened to him? He got fired.
Yeah.
He got suspended a year, just like Hinch. Players get off with nothing. Somehow, they're the ones hitting the homers. They're the ones knowing what pitch is coming. They're the ones that came up with the system, designed and devised the plan. Malcolm on Twitter says to me, welcome to Team Outrage. Nice to finally having you wear our jersey.
It's usually our department.
So, yeah, I as I said, I don't have a great reason why, but over the course of the last weeks, increasingly, I've grown more and more frustrated and upset. I think it's because of the lack of contrition and remorse. You know what really turned it for me, honestly, if I could trace it back to a day? That Astros caravan day when they had their, like, winter pump-up fest.
Yeah, their version of Winterfest.
And basically that day, Bregman spoke, and they weren't as prepared yet, and Altuve spoke, and they kind of just dismissed this whole thing.
They scoffed at us.
It was pompous, and it was very... I viewed it as almost like belittling. You know, it was like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Dismissive's a good word. It was smug, and it pissed me off so bad. And that kind of got the ball rolling for me on, these guys should be in more trouble than they are. And now as we've gotten closer and closer and the tone hasn't changed, I've just gotten more and more upset. Generally, I am all about, and I will eventually be with these guys too. Like, I'm not going to, in 20 years, hate Alex Bregman for this. A lot of people will. Mm. I'm not going to, in 15 years, dislike 5'5" Jose Altuve, who overcame thousands of odds to get to baseball and become the player that he is. What I can't have, though, is just the forgiveness before you've, A, admitted that you did anything wrong, which some of these guys have and some haven't. B, we don't even know what you've done wrong yet. This is the equivalent of me basically saying, hey, it's okay that you screwed up, when I don't know what you did yet because you haven't admitted to everything. When I normally look at a player who's back in the league after doing wrong or getting arrested or something happening or you hit someone or you did something terrible or you're involved in something brutal, generally we know the facts. We know the information. You have talked about them. You've answered questions about them. And some, when I say you've served time, sometimes I mean actually in jail, in prison.
Right.
But it could also be in the court of public opinion, or you've sat out, or you've missed a season, or whatever. You have in some way been reprimanded. You're worse off for your actions. The Astros have had none of that. They've been fat and happy on beaches all offseason after cashing playoff winning checks again, getting to the World Series, playing 7 postseason games, almost winning another title, picking up more individual hardware, with, you know, Cy Young and MVP awards.
2 scapegoats are gone. The rest of the guys in the front office that are responsible for this are still very much there. And they don't have to answer anything. Nobody has to answer any questions. This was Jim Crane and a guy that wasn't even there standing in front of you trying to field questions for this thing. Where are the guys that were the assistant GMs that are still very much employed? Where's the intern from the Wall Street Journal report? Where are, you know, where's Marwin Gonzalez, who was on the 2017 team, had a career year, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn since then? I wonder why. What's the one factor? Oh, he knew what was coming, especially at home in Houston. Where's everybody else? The lack of accountability on this thing is blood boiling. And Major League Baseball is along for the ride. They're complicit. They want this to go away. They don't want to go down the road of having players have to answer some of these things, answer for some of these things, rather. And they're hoping that these, you know, baby pool level deep statements of apology and sort of generally saying, I'm sorry these things happened, from these guys is going to be enough, and it's not. The voracious appetite that we have for this thing, because we know we're being lied to, is not going to be quenched anytime soon. It's not.
800-636-1067, you want to chime in. What do you think is going to happen with the Astros this year? They're going to be really good again and be World Series contenders. They're going to fall off. Will it look any different when you watch them play if, in fact, they're no longer cheating? Led by Dusty Baker this season. Grant and Danny. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.